Hi all, it's Pastor Matt Kennedy here. Really looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you guys this Christmas Day. What a fantastic day for us to be celebrating the birth of our Lord and Saviour. Can't wait to delve into this, into the Bible with you as we celebrate Christmas. David Dykes tells a story about how some six-year-old kids in the Sunday school class were reenacting the story of the birth of Jesus, and the teacher wanted them to stage it themselves based on their own made up script, so it was certainly interesting. They had three Marys and two Josephs and six shepherds and two wise guys, and one kid wanted to play the cow. So another boy decided that he would be a doctor who would deliver the baby. The teacher consented, so the little doctor went back behind the manger and he picked up the doll and carefully wrapped it in the blanket, and then with a big smile on his face he turned to the Marys and the Josephs and he said, "Congratulations, it's a God." That kid, he knew more than most people. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak in each of us, Lord, myself included, the ears to hear as we have a look at the story or part of the story of that first Christmas when you came to earth, Lord. Lord, I just ask that that you would use this to touch people who are listening to this message. In Jesus' beautiful name, amen. So how often have you gone out to check a new baby that a friend or relative might have had? It's kind of the thing to do, isn't it? Whether you're interested in babies or not, you kind of like rock up, you smile, you ooh and you ah. You tell the parents that the baby is as cute as a button, that it looks like them. He has your ears or she has a mum's eyes. And we all think that basically every baby defies science and kind of like smiles at us rather than thinking that what it really is wind. And this is the norm. This is how it rolls. Even if the baby is as ugly as sin, no one is actually going to ever say that, are they? They're just not. They might think it, but they're not going to say it. Now, even I know the rules, but imagine my horror when a good mate of mine from Tumut, a very factual person who can't stand the thought that his emotions might blind him to the truth, asked me to do the unthinkable. "Matt," he said, "when these babies come along, one of the things that I see quite often is that parents' minds and their judgment about their baby is clouded. I'm afraid that this might happen to me also. I need you to promise me that when my kid is born and you look at him or her, if it's an ugly baby, you must promise to tell me the truth. If it's ugly, tell me." Their baby was born a couple of days later. Now, let's just say I'm still really good mates with my friend, but his wife no longer kind of speaks to me. No, only kidding. I thank the Lord that they actually had a very cute baby because I would have done it. I would have told the truth, even though it was probably not the thing to do. But here's the point of this story. Often when babies arrive on the scene, there's a big fuss made about them, isn't there? Everyone loves a baby. For many, especially if it's somebody else's baby that they have to look after. And we get to just go and rock up and ooh and ah and all that type of stuff. And we do wear rose-coloured glasses, don't we? As a dad, when it's your baby, you wonder what they're going to be like. You can't wait for them to be able to walk and speak. And then you dream about spending time with them, throwing a ball with them, taking them hunting, whatever it might be. And as a mum, you dream of spending that quality time chatting with them, seeing them grow and prosper in the things that they do and, you know, doing stuff with mum. You wonder what impact that this kid is going to have on the world, because we all really believe that our kid is special. He or she has something extra going for them. But more often than not, they grow up, for good or for bad, just like you. Some kids grow up and by the grace of God, or in some cases through their rejection of God, they actually have an impact or change in a minor way on the trajectory of the world. We've seen that. But the vast majority don't. But there was this one kid there was this one kid who was born who was an enigma of sorts. He was a child of contradictions, you might say, and Jesus was his name. Let's check out the passage that we have today. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up to Luke 1. We're going to start at verse 26 and look at the first couple of verses. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, so up front, when we look at the start of this love story, we see what is a very strange beginning, don't we? Which begins to set the stage for what can only be described as a unique story about a baby. Now, I'm not sure about you, but before my kids were conceived or born, God didn't seem to have the need to send an angel to specifically speak with myself and my wife. I'm fairly sure that my parents didn't receive a special visit either regarding me, and they definitely didn't receive a visit regarding my two brothers. They may have. I've never actually asked, but I assume that they would have told me by now if that was what had actually happened. But here we have God send one of his chief angels, Gabriel, to a specific province in Galilee, to a specific town called Nazareth, to a specific person, a virgin named Mary, who was betrothed to a specific man named Joseph, both who had a specific ancestral line that reached all the way back to King David. And as you can see, there are a few specifics that are being dealt with here in this story. In fact, there are, at the very least, at least five prophecies that are being fulfilled just in these two verses, and that's not including the incidental prophecies that result because of these specifics. So there's a plan afoot, you might say. What was about to happen was no accident, but had been orchestrated for many years until everything began to line up based on the many prophecies that had been foretold about the coming of the Messiah. Anyway, so this angel Gabriel rocks up and he's now standing in front of a virgin whose name was Mary. So let's see what happens next. Luke 1, 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." Now let's just pause there for a tick. A couple of things that I'd like for us to consider here, and it's in the wording, you might say, that has been used. So the angel Gabriel says, "Greetings," and he calls Mary, "O favoured one." Now this is important because a couple of things here. It's not every day that an angel firstly rocks up to your doorstep and says, "Greetings." Well, maybe it might be normal in your household, but in my house, this would definitely be a rarity. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I haven't noticed or recognized it when it has. But not only did an angel rock up to Mary's house, which was very obvious in regards to who he was, he also called her, "O favored one." What does he mean by that? I mean, this seems to be a title, a description, and a statement of fact, doesn't it? All in one. Why is this? Well, the reason was because Mary really was special. To the heavenly being, she's called, "O favored one." And why is she known as this? Because God chose this young lady out of all the women that had ever been before who were present then or were ever to come into the future to be the mother of the coming Messiah, the Son of God. And because of this, because this is who she is, this title, how Gabriel addresses her, "O favored one," becomes a statement of fact also, doesn't it? Because there has never been somebody who has been shown such mind-boggling favor as Mary. You might say that Mary had been afforded an honor like no one other, and you'd be absolutely correct. Now, don't get me wrong, Mary was most definitely favoured, but don't confuse deity with favour, as some attempted to do. Mary was a very special lady, but she doesn't rank in equality with God the Father, Jesus the Son, or the Holy Spirit. She's still a human, just one that has been shown great favour. Okay, so the angel moves on to say, "The Lord is with you." What an amazing comfort a statement like that should be for Mary. But for her at that time, it was a little bit confusing, wasn't it? It was a wonderful statement of fact that the angel had made and probably something that Mary would have stored away in her heart for future reflection. But here's the thing, a quick truth that I want you to grasp here. We also can claim the fact that the Lord is with you. part as well, can't we? We can claim that part. Jesus himself tells us this in Matthew 28:20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that an amazing promise for us today? But back to the passage about Mary. This is quite an amazing turn of events, isn't it, for this young virgin called Mary, favoured by God with the assurance that the Lord is with her. What would you feel, actually? What would you feel? How would you feel if this was you? How would you go? Because here's the thing. Think about this. Here's the thing. This is the first thing that I want you to take away from this sermon. This is you. You and I have been shown unbelievable favor by God. John 3:16 sums it up beautifully when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." When Jesus came into the world in the flesh, he lived that sinless life and he died for our sins so that we could have eternal life that made each one of us, every one of us, favored by God. It doesn't matter who you are or what your background is, God has shown you favor, and an amazing favor at that. Reminds me of a story about a bank that asked for a letter of recommendation for a young man who they were considering employing. His existing employer couldn't say enough about this young fella. His father, they wrote, was a Gabot, and his mother was a Luel, and further back was a happy blend of Packers and Foxes and other of the city's first families. His recommendation was given without hesitation. Several days later, the bank sent a note back saying the information supplied was altogether inadequate. It supposedly read, "We're not contemplating using the young man for breeding purposes, just for work." Neither is God neither is he overly interested in our lineage today. But he accepts and favours those from every family, nation and race who fear him and work for his kingdom. Friends, it is an amazing favour that is on offer for everybody. We know this as the scriptures tell us in 1 Timothy 2:3-6. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. You can have this favor. Salvation is on offer for all who call upon the name of Jesus, asking for him to be their Lord and Savior. Friends, we are favored by God. And the birth, life, death, and resurrection of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, is living proof of that. But Mary, she didn't know any of this, did she yet? She didn't know this. Let's check out the next couple of verses in regards to Mary. Luke 1:29, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." You can understand, can't you? You can sympathise with Mary, can't you? Put yourself in her shoes, just for a moment. Just imagine what's happened. You're out there with a broom. You've got the broom out and you're sweeping the floor, or you're kind of like you're doing the dishes or cooking a meal or something like that. Looks like I've just lost majority of the male half of the congregation. You know, guys, it wouldn't hurt you to do the vacuum or to pick do some vacuuming or the dishes or something like that. Anyway, Mary's studiously working away at something and an angel turns up and tells you something fairly major. He tells you some fairly major things, and you can see why Mary might have been a tad afraid and confused, can't you? The angel sees this fear and confusion in Mary and looks to reassure her, as we see in this next verse, when he addresses her fear and repeats the fact that she has found favour with God. Luke 1:30, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God.'" The angel then goes on to explain to Mary in what form the favour she is receiving will be forthcoming. Luke 1:31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, before we go any further, If Mary was confused before, she would have had to have been doubly confused now, wouldn't she? We see Mary address this issue in verse 34 when she speaks to the angel with a fairly obvious question. Can you think what that question might be? Luke 1:34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" To which the angel gives what is both a simple answer, but also an extremely complex response. Luke 1:35, and the angel answers her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God." The angel obviously knew that this was a very difficult thing for Mary to comprehend. So he points towards Mary's relative, Elizabeth, as the example by which to have faith in. Luke 1:36-37. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Isn't that an exciting statement? God had this in hand. He knew what he was doing and he was in control. Our God can do all things. The ability to open an old barren womb was possible for God. And the ability for a young virgin to conceive was in his plan. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, I want to briefly go back a couple of verses that we've kind of like skipped. Those verses about the one who would be conceived, the Son of God. So let's have a look at them. Luke 1:31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Friends, this is huge news. The one Mary would conceive was a boy named Jesus. We know that it's recorded in Matthew 1:21, where the scriptures gives us a bit more detail regarding this son. So Matthew 1:21, "She will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." God had a plan and Jesus was the central figure in that plan. Mary and Joseph were to call the baby the Son of God, Jesus, because he had come to save his people from their sin. Jesus came to put things right between a righteous, holy, and just God and sinful men who had turned their back, who had rejected their Creator. This was no ordinary kid. This was more than just a baby. We see in the next two verses, Luke 1:32-33, that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. This boy, this baby was born to reign. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no mistake. He is the one the nation of Israel had been waiting for. He is the one true hope in a world devoid of hope. The light pushing back the darkness in a world that needed a saviour. The one who would come and save humanity from their sin. This baby would come and change the world and everybody in it. Let me share a poem. Who is he? In chemistry, he turned water to wine. In biology, he was born without normal conception. In physics, he disproved the law of gravity when he ascended to heaven. In economics, he disproved the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick and the blind without administering a single dose of drugs. In history, he is the beginning and the end. In government, he said that he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. In religion, he said, "No one comes to the Father except through him." Who is he? He is Jesus, the greatest man in history. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him Master. He had no degree, and yet they called him Teacher. He had no medicines, and yet they called him Healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. If you don't know Jesus, you have my greatest sympathies. But know that you can rectify that deficit at any time. Jesus came. This Christmas message that we have is that Jesus came to save the lost. And you, my friend, are lost. Jesus came to bring light into the darkness. If you don't know Jesus, if he isn't your Lord and Savior, then you are in the darkness. Jesus came to bring hope to the hopeless. And whether you know it or not, if you don't have Jesus, then you truly are without hope. Jesus came to set sinners free, and if you haven't called upon the name of Jesus, then you are still a slave to your sin. Jesus, he is more than just a baby. He can make an insurmountable difference in your life. Just ask, and he will be there. This Christmas and beyond, join with me and let's celebrate him. For he alone is worthy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would touch the hearts of those that need to be touched, Lord, that you would give encouragement for those that need encouragement. Lord, that you would just challenge those that need to be challenged. If there are those that don't know you, Lord, I just ask that their eyes would be open. Lord, I just ask that you would impact their life this Christmas and beyond. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would touch each of our hearts and minds. I ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.